And hello out there in movie land, and welcome to Fat Guys the Movies. You are listening to our very special Sunday evening show. This, for those of you who have not caught our Sunday evening show before, is our online exclusive show, which means that we can say stuff like douchebag and shit. We can say shit. But I wanted to get started with today's show by wishing Kevin Carr a happy Father's Day. Because his kids are proof that he has had sex, as has been explained on other shows around the country.
That's why I have them.
Yes. So I'm Neil Miller. Alongside me is
Kevin Carr, Father of the Year.
Yes. Father of the Year. So happy Father's Day, Kevin.
I appreciate that, Neil. It's also actually one of my son's birthdays, too.
Oh, well, there you go. So, pretty awesome.
He's four.
He's four. Excellent. So, at least in the last 5 years, you've had sex once.
Yeah, and we at least had sex 4 years and 9 months ago.
Excellent. So, but before we get into what's going on today's show, Kevin, where can people reach the Fat Guys at the Movies?
Well, of course, you can reach us at www.fatguysatthemovies.com. Of course, you may already be there. If you're listening to us on the internet exclusive, you can listen to us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys and we pop right up. Dig.com. Check us out. Give us a dig if you like us. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can call us. Leave us a nasty hate-filled voicemail, or a lovable voicemail, however you choose, at 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK.
Awesome. So on today's show, we're in kind of a mellow mood.
Well, I realized I'm chomping at the bit with some sort of fire.
And Kevin Carr!
Kevin Carr! But it was such a nice
not
opening.
So much. Telling you it was. I was trying to be nice today, but that'll end.
I'll start abusing you soon enough, trust me.
On today's show, we're going to do a little box office recap. We're going to talk about how Fantastic Four brought in some serious bank, and then some other facts that you may or may not know.
$25 million for each of Jessica Alba's breasts.
Yes, exactly.
And then $7 million for the rest.
Yeah, we're gonna then talk about some DVDs. We've got Reno 911 charging in. We're going to cross the bridge to Terabithia. And one of my own personal favorites, The Powerpuff Girls Season 1, is coming out. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about the U.S. Air Guitar Tour, which Kevin and I had the pleasure of going to the Columbus stop on Thursday, which was a rockin' good time.
It was crazy. It was awesome.
So we're going to give you a little bit of airness. And then we're going to preview for you the weekend show, featuring a little bit of Divine Intervention and a little bit of creepy John Cusack / Stephen King / Samuel L. Jackson. I know that doesn't sound right, but 1408 is coming out on Friday.
Yeah, and when you say Divine Intervention, we're not talking about Hairspray.
That is later on in the summer. Evan Almighty is on Friday.
That's right.
But before we get into that, Kevin, you did get a chance to see DOA, correct?
Yes, DOA. If you listen to our Saturday, if you hear something going on in the background, first of all, let's just say we have brought our mascot to the show with us, Zoe.
Yes, my roommate's dog.
That bitch. she's sniffing around Neil's dirty shoes or something like that.
And right here in the magical studio in the sky.
Yeah. So we have our mascot here. So if you hear like screaming and yelling and crashing,
right, or
we'll just cut to break and we'll get rid of. Get rid of that.
If you hear the ending song come in, normally where the halfway point of the show is, just know that the dog killed us.
Yes, exactly. So, and it's a good thing that she knows how to use all the audio software
right,
to have put all that music in just in case.
She'll figure it out.
Yes. But yes, I did see DOA. If you recalled us from the weekend show, the early show.
Yeah.
They didn't screen this for critics, which we all gave it a preemptive suck. I have to actually retract that review because as bad as the movie was, I mean, the movie is an awful plot. It's got awful acting. It's got awful dialogue, but it's a bunch of hot chicks in bikinis doing martial arts. And
right. And I
was okay.
I actually like the way that you summed it up in your review. There's so many movies in this summer that you can sum up with like one sentence. Like Transformers is big robots blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
And this one is...
Well, yeah, this one is hot chicks in bikinis doing martial arts.
Exactly.
And that's all it is. And it's like tons of it. It's just like nonstop. So, I mean, there's no plot. I mean, there's a sort of a shaky plot that everyone's invited to this giant martial arts competition. It's based on a video game, so of course there's not going to be a great plot. But it's just like every 5 minutes there's scenes with girls just kicking the crap out of each other, or guys like Jamie Presley, who's one of my favorite just hot actresses out there. She Trashy. Shows up, starts her scene. She's in a pair of Daisy Dukes and a string bikini with American flag on the breasts. And she just kicks the crap out of these guys on a yacht. And I was like, this is the greatest movie ever made just for that scene. Because it's Jamie Presley and she just looks phenomenal in this. You know, I was okay with it all. And okay. and then like later on, there's a scene where Eric Roberts, who plays the bad guy, fights this one guy. And it's two guys, and I just completely lost interest. I'm like, I'm so bored. And then they move on to the girls get let out of this cage or whatever, and then they start fighting. I'm like, I'm in.
They were in a cage?
Well, they were like in these like tubes. They like constrict. I don't understand what the movie. I really honestly couldn't explain why they were in these things, but they're in these like sort of like Doctor Who type tubes. Right. When they got out, still in bikinis, they were fighting, and it looked awesome.
Nice.
So. I mean, I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Simply, it is what it is. I mean, I don't think anyone went to this movie. Oh, nobody went to this movie, but those who did. I don't think they were expecting Titanic or, you know, Gone with the Wind.
Right. Cool. Very cool.
So, DOA. Check DOA. It out.
So, your official Fat Guys rating?
Kind of rocked, actually.
Kind of rocked.
For the boob factor. Jiggles all over the place.
Okay. Cool. So, now we'll move on to a little bit of news.
Speaking of jiggles.
Speaking of jiggles, we're going to start our news day with a little bit of Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
So we picked this up off of TMZ. This is actually kind of a big story.
It's really been making some news lately.
Yeah, where Angelina Jolie's people sent out this memo that said various different things.
We got the memo here. You want to go ahead and quote from it?
Yes. Give me a second here. It is currently loading. On my
I thought you already had it up.
Computer. Oh, you're super All computer. Right, so here's what the memo said. This is coming from the publicity
the
people
press
for Angelina Jolie. So it said, regarding Angelina Jolie,
how about
a Mighty
you,
Heart
you
interview.
You read a sentence, and I'll translate it to what it means in real terms.
All right, well, let me read the first paragraph at least. So it says, dear Mr. Offer, who I guess is the person who's going to do the interview. This will confirm as a condition for blank interviewer to interview Angelina Jolie on, various date of 2007 for miscellaneous media outlet in connection with the motion picture entitled A Mighty Heart. Interviewer agrees as follows. Interviewer will not ask Ms. Jolie any questions regarding her personal relationships. In the event interviewer does ask Ms. Jolie any questions regarding her personal relationships, Ms. Jolie will have the right to immediately terminate the interview and leave.
Okay, the translation is, hey guys, who we want you to write about and publicize our movie, don't ask her any questions about Brad Pitt or how she kidnaps kids from other countries, or we'll kick your ass.
All right. Number two is the interview may only be used to promote the picture. In no event may interviewer or media outlet be entitled to run all or any portion of the interview in connection with any other story.
We want you to only talk about A Mighty Heart. If you put it in the Inquirer and don't mention our movie, we will kick your ass.
Okay. And number three, the interview will not be used in a manner that is disparaging, demeaning, or derogatory to Ms. Jolie.
Okay. The translation is, Fat Guys at the Movies have no chance of getting an interview with Angelina Jolie. That's the translation.
Wow. That puts Angelina Jolie up on the board with Michael Bay. Probably.
But we did.
We'll never talk to us.
But we
you,
did
Kevin.
Talk to her father.
We did.
We got awesome.
We
got a John Voight interview coming up in the near future. So,
And
he's awesome. I'm going to have beers with him in L.A. He's going to walk up. And he would, too. He'd be like, you're buying beers, man? We're going to go.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about this here in a second because we do a lot of interviews and we talk to some celebrities. We obviously have never interviewed Angelina Jolie and obviously we never will.
I'm trying to keep a straight face here because the mascot is licking my leg.
Nice. Nice.
You dirty bitch.
But I want to play a clip first because I'm a huge fan of The Daily Show. I think Jon Stewart is the man.
What is this?
So I want to play a clip for us here.
Nobody's licking your leg. Why are you distracted?
We're going to play a clip and come back.
And what's, all the controversy about the movie? Now I'm hearing things. A news organization was banned, Fox, from attending your premiere, and people have to sign things. I just want to make it clear. nobody, I didn't have to sign anything for to interview you. What's all the controversy? How does this all get started?
Well, listen, I think people are always looking for, unfortunately, the most negative story. But there was, there was a memo that went out to ask people in a very dramatic, if they would sign it, that said, focus, basically, don't get into personal questions, focus on the movie and things like that. But it was not mandatory and it's,
I signed one thing.
I didn't put it out
there. It
wasn't
from you, it was from someone else.
It was from my representatives trying to be protective of me, but it was excessive, and I wouldn't have put it out there. And nobody was forced to do
it. I signed one thing. It was a prenup. All you have to do is is also sign it, and then I'm just going to call a sea captain down, and the whole thing will be done.
Now you said earlier in the show, we can say shit on this show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that's bullshit, first of all. There's no way on God's earth that Angelina Jolie had no idea this was going on.
Right.
This is her doing total damage control.
Right, and it was pretty much, I didn't know. It was a little harsh. Yeah.
Would you sign it? Please. You don't have to, but, you know, that's bull. They do this.
This does happen.
I doubt that she saw the memo, but she knew what I can tell you what happened most likely, because I'm a genius and I'm omnipotent and I know everything. Or omniscient. I'm not impotent. I'm omnipotent and omniscient. But
there's something.
I'm sure that what she did is she said to her publicist, look, I'm getting tired of people talking to me, talking about how I take kids from other countries and I stole Brad Pitt from Jennifer Aniston. I'm getting tired of these kind of... I want to talk about my movie.
Right.
Can you do something to make these people talk about my movie? And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And that's what started this off. But she asked for it in the beginning. And the problem is, this is a woman who's been in the press for the last, 3 years nonstop to boost her career? Because with the exception of until Mr. and Mrs. Smith, there was not a movie she did since Tomb Raider that did well.
Right.
You know, so I think she knew exactly what was going on. She's just trying to be nice here. And you know what she got? The reason she got so much crap for this was because the movies honoring Daniel Pearl, who was a journalist, and it's supposed to be how, you know, it's rightfully honoring a guy who gave his life for freedom of the press, and then while she's promoting the movie is wanting to restrict the press from asking questions, which is kind of, I think, what really kind of...
Right, it's kind of hypocritical.
That was a story that was starting to get latched onto this. I mean, if she were in, you know, Evan Almighty, and she came out with this thing, I don't think it would have made as much news.
Right, because people won't want to talk about the movie as much.
Well, but also it'd be like, I play the newscaster's wife and Evan Almighty, and that has nothing to do with freedom of the press. But, I mean, this is specifically honoring a guy who gave his life to keep the press free, and she is trying to restrict the press.
Right, and I think, for the most part, something like this is kind of unnecessary in the sense that when you do an interview, you know what things you really shouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, when we talked to John Voight,
we're not going to sit there and be like,
so what do you think about your crazy daughter and her obsession with getting African kids and her weird sexual thing with Brad Pitt?
I did ask her that, and she said they're delicious at Thanksgiving is what he said.
Like, you know, we didn't go, hey, we heard that you didn't remember your granddaughter's name.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk about Transformers. Yeah. We wanted to talk about September Dawn. That's what the point of the interview was. So I think for them to send this out, it's almost unnecessary, because who are they really giving interviews to that are going to do that?
Yeah. And not to mention
they should be giving those interviews to us.
They're out there publicizing that look, Angelina Jolie's got her 17th African baby trained at home. You know, I mean, that's
these are the same people.
She is the one who's pushing those stories anyways. But you know what I think is the best part about this story is if you listen to what John Stewart said.
Yeah.
He said some people weren't allowed to see the movie, and it was like Fox that wasn't allowed to, which I thought was awesome, because Fox was the one who was out there restricting Fantastic Four screenings all last week.
Yes.
And then they get just completely douched on by Angelina Jolie and A Mighty Heart.
Yes, I like it. Fox deserved it for that one.
That was comeuppance defined.
Yes. So, but anyways, John Stewart is my hero. As long as you know.
That's what the whole purpose
that
of
was
story.
The whole
it's nothing
of
to do with Angelique.
I just
want to
play a clip from The Daily Show.
You just wanted to just geek love all over Jon Stewart.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, he's running away, screaming with his. Grabbing his crotch.
He's one of those guys I would like to get an interview with. Cause he's
I was about to say, I thought you were like, he's one of those guys that, you know, I'm not gay, no. But I'd like to, I'd take him.
No, that he well, he's on my he's on my list of Steve Jobs, Michael Bay, and Jon Stewart.
Guys right you'd bang if you had
if
to.
Necessary.
If necessary.
So, moving on, second story that I have for us on this wonderfully
not
nice
me, I'd take RuPaul, because at least you could pretend.
Oh, jeez. I don't have anything to say
to
that.
No, you have no response
nothing,
to that.
Nothing.
You're the one who put
mine,
Michael Bay.
There's at least logic behind mine.
No, there's logic behind mine, and you pretend.
You
if I had to,
RuPaul
I'd have gotten in my head. So you got to
no,
do.
I don't think so.
You got to do a dude. I'd be like, at least give me one that looks like a woman.
Oh, geez. You know? Anyways, second news story is a little bit of movie news. A little bit more movie news. That was more
this
like
this is
a,
all
that
about
was more
movies.
Like
this
a,
is fat guys at the movies.
It was more like
man.
An Inquirer story.
Yes.
For us. So it came out, I got this off of slashfilm.com. The producer, Lorenzo de Bonaventura, who, if you remember, produced Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3.
I didn't know that, but I'll take your word.
Has said that he's trying to get Axel Foley back onto the screen.
Because he has no other source of income.
Exactly.
For no other reason.
So when he was talking to Chud.com, about this, they asked if it would be R-rated film because the other ones were R-rated, and there was that was you know part of the coolness of,
gotcha.
Of Axel Foley was he was very vulgar, and he said this is the exact quote: "I think it's going to be a really interesting debate, and it's one we're going to have for a while," said De Bonaventura, who was then told by a bunch of junketeers that there is no sense in making a PG-13 Beverly Hills Cop 4. D. Bonaventura responded, "Would you please call Paramount and tell them that?" Mm-hmm. So what he's hinting at is that the studios, if they remake this type of movie...
Well, is he remaking it or doing
or,
a...
Or if no, if they make a fourth...
It's not like they're going to put Chris Tucker in and remake the first
right, one. Right, no. They would push for...
Because that would suck.
PG-13 as opposed to R. And there's another movie coming out. This is kind of a hot topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is why the question is coming up.
Porky's 4.
No. Live Free or Die Hard,
oh, okay.
Which comes out in the next couple of weeks, is getting a PG-13 rating. And people are like, how does that make sense? You know, the number one, the most memorable line from the Die Hard series includes the word fuck.
Are we allowed to say fuck?
Are we? I just did.
Can we say, we'll say Chud instead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mother Chudders?
Mother Chud. That actually. I don't. Say, start talking that way and it'll catch on.
That's kind of fun. But anyway, so that's kind of a little bit of an upheaval amongst purists, I guess, where they're saying, how can you have a John McClane movie and have it be a PG-13? It's like girling it up.
I'm ready
for the OMG.
In defense of the industry here, I will say this in terms of. Movies, if you're going to base on needing to have a rating, needing to have a line in a movie, and that's going to determine your rating.
For this one, it may.
It would, but look at Snakes on a Plane. With the exception of what is that one scene in the bathroom where I think they
right,
show some
the sex
nudity.
Scene, yeah.
There's a sex scene, but that could have easily been, that was just in there for goofy purposes. But I mean, the thing that everyone wanted, they wanted to hear Sam Jackson say,
I'm tired of these
fucking planes. Snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Right.
And that's. That was that movie. When I listened to the early press on that, Sam Jackson was like, that has to be in there.
Right.
And everyone and all the people on the internet, like, that has to be in there. Movie comes out, makes $12 million. And everyone's like, well, we're not going to kowtow to the fanboys anymore. You know, the same thing happened with Grindhouse. I mean, people are like, there are a lot of people who said if Grindhouse were PG-13, it may have driven more people to the movie because the and this is the thing. The PG-ification of movies is a huge deal to a lot of purists and a lot of fans, but you also have to look at it. These people, you know, the industry puts $20, $30 million or more, like in Die Hard's case is what, $100 million
oh,
budget
I'm sure.
or whatever?
It's huge.
So if they're putting that much money into a movie, it makes sense that they'd want to make it as appealing to the general audience as possible. And when you're going for high school kids, you know, when you're 15 years old, those are the people who are going to be seeing the Die Hard movie. It's a little different than, I mean, people aren't just going to wait for video anymore. And so I can understand why the studios, I don't necessarily agree with it in all cases, but with the exception of that one line, there's nothing in Die Hard that you need to have. It's not. It's never been a big sex movie. It's never. It's had violence, but it's always been somewhat cartoony.
Right.
So I think going for PG-13 is probably a brilliant move for the movie. It'd be nice to hear John McClane say his line, but there you go.
All right. So, but I'm gonna kind of go with you on this one because I think it's dumb, but then again, it shows a trend that is kind of alarming. Are we gonna remake all these R-rated, 80s movies? And
but see, they did that with back then too. The first Police Academy was R, and the second Police Academy I think was PG-13, and then it went down to PG.
Well, that's because they got really goofy.
Because they got stupid. But right. It's not unheard of. The scary movies the same way. The first two were R. The second two were PG. Those two PG-13 movies did very, very well.
Right.
But that's, again, the audience they were going for. Right. I don't know. But Axel Foley, the fact that they're going to be doing another Beverly Hills Cop, 15 years after the last one, and the last one was real crappy anyways.
Yeah. It seems like they're reaching at this
point. Yeah. It'd be like, I'm more upset that they're trying to dig Eddie Murphy out. Dusting him off from all of his daddy daycare
crap. From Norbit.
Yeah, from Norbit and garbage like that. And then they're saying, okay, it's going to suck anyway. So what's all the belly aching about?
Right. Well, finally, the only good thing I see out of it is at least we'll get a good unrated DVD release.
Well, maybe. So,
maybe. Who knows? But.
Can I do a news story?
Yeah, real quick.
A real quick news story. Ryan Reynolds is a douchebag. That's the name
of
this.
That's your whole news story.
Thesis statement. We never talked about this because you had SARS and dumbstruck AIDS last week.
We missed
this
in the lost episode.
Ryan Reynolds came out and attacked competitive eating, and I'm saying this guy's a douchebag. I mean, he wrote on the Huffington Post, talking about how, first of all, he gets all his facts wrong. He gives the wrong record for hot dogs, which is not 49. It's actually 59 and a half now. He was so lazy. It's a reposting of something he did like 3 months ago.
Right.
But he basically does the whole thing about how stupid competitive eating is and all that. So you can go, if you go to this www.eatfeats.com, you can see the right. link. And we'll put a link up to the douchebag's original post. And I want to personally say that Ryan Reynolds, because he complains about how much food is wasted. But my comment...
Oh, seriously.
No, but this is the thing. You are telling me that in an eating contest, I would bet you that the food wasted in an eating contest is nothing compared to the food wasted during one day of shooting like Blade Trinity or Van Wilder.
Oh, yeah. The craft services budgets on those movies
ridiculous.
Is ridiculous.
I've been on major film sets, and they got so much crap there, and they give it's so much money wasted. And, like, you go to a Nathan's Hot Dog Contest, you maybe have 100, 150 hot dogs left. And hot dogs, even Nathan's Famous Dogs, aren't that expensive. And half the time, the audience will go and they'll hand them out to people. If they're not eating and they're not touched, they'll hand them out. It's just so stupid that how much money is wasted on a film set, and then to come out there and say that something like competitive eating is wasting money.
Right.
He's a douchebag. I challenge him. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. I challenge Ryan Reynolds to an eating contest.
Okay. But apparently he wouldn't participate because he's holier than thou.
Well, no. We have an eating contest, and what I think is I will eat, and whoever wins... If he wins, I will promise to never write a bad review about a movie of his again.
And that's saying a lot.
Which I just won't write any reviews of his.
He's made some pretty bad ones.
I just won't review them,
All right, that's fair. So Ryan Reynolds, people, we'll get in touch. We'll see if we can hook that up.
That's right.
But my only thought on that is, who cares? Why is Ryan Reynolds talking about competitive eating? That's the most ridiculous thing
I can understand if
who is Ryan Reynolds in the world of
Judy
competitive eating?
If Judy Dench was coming out and saying, I'm this respected, but it's Ryan Reynolds
it's almost like that whole celebrities, the Alec Baldwin in politics thing. Who are you?
Yeah, nobody cares
what you have to say about competitive eating.
No, somebody's in politics. Now, if Michael Moore came out and talked about food, that makes sense. He's a big fat
ass. Looks like he could competitive eat.
He could probably win.
Yeah.
I'll bet you he's pounded down more than 60 hot dogs in one sitting.
So there you go. Cool. So we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to do some actual business here. We're going to do box office recap, and we're going to talk about DVDs, and we will see you on the flip side.
Ta.
And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies, and this is our Sunday exclusive, uncut, uncensored, super fat show.
Super fat. We're even fatter today.
We are,
we
even
are normally
fatter on Sundays. Well, you know, we eat on the weekends.
Yeah.
So we're moving.
I drove a lot this weekend, so I was eating a lot.
Yeah. Cool.
But I burned it off. I won't tell you how I burned it off. I told Neil off the air, but
yeah,
I won't tell.
It's, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
So let's talk a little box office, and I have to bow down a little bit because I was very wrong about the box office. I was more of anger.
Now I feel bad, like I'm going to gloat that Waitress is off the top 10 now, too.
Oh, you. It was more out of anger with Fox and the fact that I didn't like Fantastic Four, that I didn't want it to do well. Somehow, in my heart of hearts, I knew that it was going to make $50 million. It made the studio estimate that came back was $57 million.
I think it's 57.4 is what the estimate is.
That's the estimate. I'm sure it'll finish right around 60.
It may actually, see, and this is we were talking about this early.
Low.
I think it's estimated low because the news. If you really are geeks like us and you track the box office during the weekend,
right.
The news was it had a drop from Friday to Saturday. But I think that that's not necessarily because of word of mouth. It may have been. But I think part of it was because they had midnight screenings, which they never made any mention of those in the press.
Right.
They usually calculate that out, and it's usually a couple million dollars. So the fact that they had those midnight screenings and then everything on Friday, that's going to make the box office look bigger than Saturday. So it looks like that dropped, and I think they factor in the drop again on Sunday.
Right.
So it might be a little bit, it might be less. It might be like 55. But yeah. Usually when they change the numbers, it's by a couple million, if that.
Right. So the estimates are usually pretty right. So from the top, Fantastic Four at $57 million. Ocean's 13 came in second last week's top. It made $19 million. Knocked Up made $14.5 million.
That's the strongest one, actually.
It's the strongest film so far because it only dropped 26%.
Yeah,
every other film in the top five dropped at least 40% from last week.
And being only dropping 20-some percent on a third weekend is
big.
Really good.
Because, you know what? Knocked Up is getting a ton of word of mouth.
Yes.
I cannot even explain or quantify how much I know people are talking about this film.
Well, I think
so.
I think that's a movie that the R rating hurt them in its initial weekend, because there's a lot of people who are like, "All right, I don't know." And then what happens is it gets the word of mouth, and you get the teenagers complaining and being able to go and that kind of thing.
Right, and the parents find out that it's just a fake vagina in the movie. So,
trust me, it looks.
Am I
like,
allowed to say that?
It looks vagina? Like that in real life. It's the most hideous thing. Child.
Right. I know it was a prosthetic.
I would rather watch somebody chopped in half than to watch a woman give birth again. And
okay.
We may have more kids, so
yeah,
if I convince my wife to have sex with me again after the two times.
On that note, moving on, number four, Pirates at $12 million. Number five, Surf's Up at $9 million. Other new releases notable, Nancy Drew came in at seventh at $7.1 million, which is pretty good showing for a very niche film.
If you know what it is going in, it's a niche film, yeah. But I think the studio was hoping it would be a little more widely accepted,
right.
But I don't think it was.
It did almost as well as Hostel did last weekend.
But again, a niche film. It's the exact same audience, 12-year-old girls.
DOA.
That wasn't even on the top 10, was it?
$232,000. That was about 15th.
Yeah, it was. It did alarmingly bad, but it was only out in like 500 screens.
Right, only 500 screens.
I don't think it would have done much better. But it still had that same number just spread out over 3,000 screens or something like that.
So, and a quick little stat that you may not have seen because it's all the way down at the bottom. This is a shout out to our good friend Jason Zagel at Bullseye.com.
Who I was giving crap to because he was giving me a low prediction on Silver Surfer.
So I know you guys had a little battle, but this is me in defense of Jason. Grindhouse did $11,300 this weekend, and it pushed it over the $25 million mark.
How's this in defense of Jason?
Because I'm pretty sure you said there's no way Grindhouse will make $25
million. No. What I said is it's not going to make more than $30 million. And Jason said
to me... So now it goes up.
It's 25... What I said, it's going to make $25, $30 million. And Jason's response was, oh, are you kidding? Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino are good enough for $20 million each. He refuses to acknowledge saying that, but he said that outside of Shooter.
I don't know.
I think he did.
I don't believe that. I'm pretty sure that... Anyways.
Well, I mean, even the
anyways,
25
so
million
Grand
was...
Grindhouse did... It, get, it got
it's,
over 25
It's right
million.
Exactly what I predicted. You're making me sound smarter now.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the box office. It's really pretty simple. I mean, Fantastic Four just blew everybody away this weekend. And next weekend, we got Evan Almighty... And 1408.
Well, the big thing
I don't
predict
that a whole lot will happen next.
Well,
week.
The big thing with Fantastic Four is it's doing almost identical to what the first movie did. It lost audience a little bit. I mean,
it's getting trashed by critics.
Well, it's getting the exact. Absolutely if trash. You look at it, it's almost the exact same critical score.
Right, because it's almost the same movie, just with a different villain.
And that's what I've told people. I said it's the same as the first film. So choose the first film. But I remember when the first film came out. It did about, I think the numbers, it's made more money, but it had a slightly less audience due to inflation or something like that. And the thing is, the first movie just kind of went steady along, and this one's probably going to top out about $150 million, which is completely cool on a domestic side.
Right.
It's going to do well overseas, and it'll do well in DVD.
So there you go.
We got Fantastic Four 3 coming out, I'm sure, soon.
Absolutely disappointing. But
I love that. Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Mwah.
Cool. So that's all. There's not a whole lot else to say about the box office.
No, there's not. What are we moving on to?
Moving on to DVDs. We're going to do a little DVD pick of the week.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some of the other releases. I know we've actually gotten a chance to crack into some of the DVDs that are coming out this week. So, all right, we'll start with you.
Me?
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week?
What's your DVD pick of the week?
Reno 911 Miami.
Yes.
It has to be. Okay. Just because it's a funny movie. I've never been a big fan of the show, but I have to say the movie's funny. Funny, funny, funny. Made me laugh. Go check out my drinking game.
Okay.
Have you posted it on Film Threat? I mean, on not Film Threat. You don't have any control over that.
No, no.
Have you posted it on Film School Rejects?
For what?
Drinking game for Reno 911.
No.
I sent it to you.
No, like, you sent me the Fantastic Four one.
Months ago.
Then
I sent it to you
we'll
2 years
ago. We'll make sure that
that's
ago. Up Monday. I'll
no,
get that up.
I'll send it to you again. I sent it to you like right when I started doing the drinking game.
Okay. So
but you probably deleted it.
We have a Reno 911 drinking game. That I can't remember.
Did you
I
see the movie?
I kind of like that movie. We saw. Didn't we see it together?
Maybe.
I kind of liked it. I'm not a big fan of the show.
There was some hairy guy sitting
next
to me. It's
kind of dumb. But you know what? It's very funny.
It's funny. It's stupid, and it's completely extreme and raunchy, and that's what I liked about it.
So
check out the unrated version.
Yeah.
It's even worse.
So, and as far as the rest of the releases go, I didn't have a whole lot. Grey Matters comes out, which I heard was absolutely
the worst movie.
I want to see it because I know Christian Dreyer Kramer from NightsAndWeekends.com and Mark Pfeiffer, who is
I actually sat next to them in the screening, and they were just like, oh, no.
He's on WOCC here in Columbus.
Did Mark like it?
They both hated it.
See, Mark and I usually disagree on everything.
Right, but I think this is one of those universal, just absolutely terrible movies.
It was so bad, the publicity rep says that after we see a screening, they send out an email, like, hey, what'd you think of the movie? I wrote back, I was like apologizing for how much I hated this movie. And she's like, oh,
I'm really sorry, but this movie sucks.
Oh, it was so bad. I mean, there's one scene where Heather Graham and Bridget Moynihan kiss. And that, like...
Which is what I would want to see it for. I just missed it.
DVD, 30 seconds of it, just throw away the whole movie, because Ed, what's his name? Ed, who plays him? Tom Cavanaugh? The guy who plays Ed on TV?
Yeah,
Tom Cavanaugh is one of the characters. It is the most randomly generated plot point film. It just makes no sense.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was terrible.
It was pretty bad. So, don't
It's not even
Grey
a good,
Matters.
Like... It's not even, like... There's this big rash now of homosexual love story movies. Like, you had, obviously, Brokeback Mountain, where you got some action afterwards,
right,
as we all remember.
The Power.
There's stuff like Imagine Me and You, which was sort of like a love triangle. Kind of like this, a man and a woman and a woman.
Right. I'm always in for that love triangle.
I love that sort of thing, but the movies they've been making on them suck ass. They're terrible.
Right.
I mean, the ones they had a whole rash of these back in the early 90s. They had Threesome and Three of Hearts, which one of them was like, one of them was two guys and a girl. Another one was a guy and two girls. And those were like, okay, but they just don't do them well because, this was just terrible. Because Heather Graham, you don't all of a sudden wake up when you're like 28 and say, I must be a lesbian. I didn't.
I woke up when I was, I think, about 16 and said I was a lesbian.
I dig lesbians. I'm totally into lesbians.
Right.
Like pretty lesbians.
I'm definitely a lesbian.
Lesbians that look like you and me, I'm not into.
Yeah, because there are plenty of lesbians.
They are those that hang around. But no, I mean, like good old
the ones that look like you, not so much. Me. Yeah.
But they make these movies and then they try and make the series story. But basically what they do is it turns into, it looks like a porno movie with Bridget Moynihan and Heather Graham as lesbians.
And it's not.
And it's not. Then it's just them being like sort of this angsty, independent love story. And it's terrible. And Tom Cavanaugh was awful in it.
Right. Also coming out this week, Miss Potter with, what's her name?
Renee Zellweger.
And
Beatrice Potter, the one.
Bridge to Terabithia, also a kids' movie, which
reviews. It's got good reviews. You got to understand, though, it being a kids' movie, it's not like Narnia. It deals with some serious issues.
Right. I have it on DVD. I'm gonna try and watch it.
It's a well-made movie. It's a good movie. But don't go in. Don't go rent this movie. Put it in for your kids and leave the room. And then you come out and they're crying and screaming, going, "Can you explain this and that?" And you're like, "What in God's name?" It's not Narnia. It's a serious issue-driven kids sort of like after-school special type of movie. Watch it with your kids, and if you haven't read the book, read the book.
Okay.
Or find out what the movie's about before you show it to your kids. It's a good movie, but know what you're getting into.
Okay. Cool. I'm getting a review. I'm reviewing it by Tuesday.
I gotta watch it. I've seen it. I gotta watch like the special features and stuff.
Right. Also out, Die Hard Collection. Go figure.
Silver Spoon Season 1.
Powerpuff Girls Season 1, which totally rules. I love the Powerpuff Girls. The Abandoned, part of the After Dark Horror Fest. Big Nothing, which is a movie with David Schwimmer and Simon Pegg, which looked kind of cool, and I was waiting for it to come into theaters, and
except
now all of a sudden
David
it's
Schwimmer
on DVD. And then it has David Schwimmer in it, so I was willing to give it a little bit.
Who's the chick in it? I see a picture of her, but I don't know.
I don't remember.
Should I click on this? This would be us not prepared for the show.
Yes, this is us not even knowing what the hell's going on here. Alice Eve?
Who the hell is Alice Eve? Is she hot?
I don't know. Well,
does she get naked?
I'm going to rent Big Nothing.
That's
I'm
what I
want to
know. Is she hot and does she get naked?
Yeah.
She's cute, at least on the cover.
Yeah, there you go.
David Schwimmer, look. You know what it looks like? It looks like it stars Ross from Friends.
There you go, with with Sean from Shaun of the Dead.
Well, no, but zombies. No. Simon Pegg plays different characters. I mean, because his character in Shaun of the Dead and
Hot Fuzz,
very different.
Very different, but awesome.
And I saw him on in a Doctor Who episode. He was very different in that. He is a chameleon of an actor, kind of like Gary Oldman. David Schwimmer, every single episode, every single movie he's in, every single TV show, it's him going in, "Hi.
I'm Ross."
It's Ross from Friends.
Where's Rachel? So I'm going to check it out. I'm going to try and get a review up for that. Also out there, The Bill Cosby Show, Season 2, Manhattan Project, Special Edition, Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Picket Fences, the Lucille Ball Collection, and The Wood.
That's the movie.
That's a documentary about
you.
I had something witty and then it wasn't so witty.
And then
so
he was like, I'm not even gonna finish this joke.
I left
joke.
It. I was like, it's just a
documentary. Kevin will say
about
something
wood.
Insulting to me.
Right. So there you go. There's what we have on DVD. It is time for another break. And to send you out on this break, we are going to give you.
Wow. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Dude, you cut me off.
I completely interrupted you, but it's worth it.
Okay.
Because I just IMDb'd Alice Eve, and she is a smoking hottie. So if you could like somehow just blur out David Schwimmer's face and all the stuff, she might be.
We'd be in good shape?
Yeah. Go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just completely.
Cool. So we're going to go to break. We're going to leave you with a little message from Bjorn to Rock, who is. One of the stars of the movie Air Guitar Nation and the MC for the United States Air Guitar Tour. And when we come back, we're going to talk about airness.
Hello, I'm Bjorn Turok, MC of the U.S. Air Guitar Championships. I used to be a regular guy until air guitar changed my life. I've had it all. Glory. Groupies. I've even starred in my own movie. You can read all about it in my book. But now, it's your turn. This June, the U.S. Air Guitar Championships are coming to a city near you. So go to usairguitar.com and enter today. you could win a trip to New York City to compete in the U.S. Finals, or to Finland for the World Air Guitar Championships. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get famous too. Good luck.
All right, and welcome back. You're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. You just heard a little bit of message.
How come I can't go come back from it?
This is my show.
You've come back from every single one.
That's because this is the
I'm going to kick your ass on Friday.
My show.
We're going to kick your ass.
You can do whatever you want with the other show.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyways, what we're talking about. you heard...
I interrupted you again.
A message from Bjorn Turok, who is one of my personal heroes at this point. Who is one of the stars of Air Guitar Nation, which is a movie that I saw at the Columbus Alive Deep Focus Film Festival. Mm-hmm. By far one of my favorite movies of the year. It is just a documentary with unbelievable energy, and it just has this rhythm to it. And if you like rock music, if you like guitar riffs, you know, it just blew me away. I've not seen a documentary where I was sitting at the edge of my seat, and by the end of it, I was like, that was awesome. So that's Air Guitar Nation. What we went to on Thursday night was the U.S. Air Guitar Tour.
We were going to take audio clips and bring them in, yeah. But when you think about it, you can't really get clips of air guitaring.
You can't.
on the radio. It just doesn't work.
So we're going to try and put a couple videos up on Film School Rejects to kind of supplement.
High quality, high def videos taken from my camera phone.
Right. Taken from Kevin's camera phone. But they were in Columbus, on the 14th, and it was just an awesome experience. Bjorn Turok was there. They're doing, these different tour dates all across the country. They've been to Washington, D.C. They've been to New York, Boston. They were in Cleveland, Columbus. They were in Chicago.
We should see if our friends over at Strong Words.
Yeah, we should have got those guys to go.
Should have asked them.
Last night they were in Chicago. Or, I'm sorry, 2 nights ago they were in Chicago. Last night they were in Minneapolis. On the 20th, they're in Dallas. On the 21st, they're in Austin, Texas at the Parish. On the 22nd of June, they're in Houston, Texas at the Scout Bar. On the 23rd of June, they're in New Orleans at the Parish. On the 27th. They're in San Jose, California at the Blank Club. On the 28th, San Francisco at the Independent. And finally on the 29th at the Key Club in Los Angeles. And that all kind of rolls into the U.S. Finals in New York City on August 16th at the Fillmore.
Okay, I think you completely now justified our free tickets to the Air Guitar
show that we went to. We've now successfully plugged them. You can get more information from usairguitar.com. Let's just talk about this for a second because I think this is one of the coolest... I don't want to call it a fad because I don't think it's going to fade away. This is one of the coolest little trends that I've seen as far as it's really a performance art. If you mm-hmm. think about it, it is you get up there. You don't get any props. You get yourself, your outfit, your rock star ego, and your air guitar.
Some people did have prop-like things, but it's not like a Gallagher show.
Right. No, you can't have a guitar. You can't have an instrument of any kind. You can dress up and look like a rock star. But
because the guy who won had a prosthetic cucumber in his pants.
Right. That his name was
Derek Smalls.
Derek. A not tribute, so Smalls. Derek. Not so Smalls.
A tribute to Spinal Tap.
So
who like the guy? One of the judges didn't know who it was.
Right. We had these three judges here in Columbus who were kind of douchebag. We want to try and get to be judges.
I'm already
next
starting
year.
To lobby through the publicist to get us
yes.
to be.
We want to be
next
judges
year.
Next year. But they just, you get up there, you get a minute, you get to rock out to whatever song you want. And if you make it as one of the top five, they judge it like figure skating. And in the trailer
for
the movie.
Not exactly like figure skating.
Well, it's on the same scale, the 4.7 to 6.0 scale.
I don't think they have artistic impression from like, yes, which, you know, did you have the essence of figure skating? And that's a bold statement to make there, Neil Miller.
No, that's seriously how they...
That's how they Bjorn said, yeah.
Yeah, they describe it as they judge on, your accuracy, your stage presence, and then airness, which is your ability to just kind of rock out to air.
Yes.
So
if I sound distracted, it's because I found a Alice Eve,
dear Lord,
photo gallery.
We're trying to
on
focus
Ask
here
Man.
On the air guitar. So, But
focusing on something else.
Here's all I have to say. The documentary, you think you're going to go in and you think you're going to laugh at the competitors of this thing because it sounds dumb.
Mm.
But when you come out of the movie, you're laughing with them and you're really kind of saying, hey, this is cool. It's the fact that they take it so seriously makes it very credible.
Well, and that's the thing I noticed just I haven't seen the documentary, but I have. Obviously, we went to the show, and I'll tell you the passion these people have for it. And you can tell the people who take it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who just got up there and are goofing.
Right, because they're friends.
Yeah, like there are these two chicks. It was nice to watch the chicks dance around on their boob shake and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they weren't into it. One was a little better than the other, but the other one was like just strumming like she was doing a honky-tonk band, and there was no guitar in that clip.
Right.
You have to listen to, and it is an amazing little zen to the whole thing, and you could tell the ones that were serious about it and the ones that were goofing on. I mean, there was this kid, this Down syndrome kid from, like, Missouri.
Right.
Who came all the way to Columbus to do this, and this guy is hardcore serious.
Yeah, very
and
serious.
And it's not like, it was one of those things where when you see that, you can't help but think, oh, God, people are going to have to be nice to him because he's a retarded kid. But, my God, this guy blew away most of the competitors there.
Exactly.
And because he was serious and he was committed. And this, you know, it's a passion that people have to have for this.
Yeah. So, absolutely awesome. If it's coming to your city, go see it. That's just what I have to say about it. And if the movie Air Guitar Nation, which there's no DVD release date yet set, but we will definitely
still rolling
mention it
that rock and roll release.
It's
kind of
it's
thing.
Still kind of coming out in the festival circuit. If it's in your area, go see it. It's by far one of the most electrifying documentaries I've seen ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. It's way more interesting than An Inconvenient Truth, despite the fact that I like that movie.
There is no PowerPoint in Air Guitar Nation.
I tell you, the thing that got me about the movie is this opening title sequence, which has Bjorn to rock, and he makes this great quote about, you know, to air is human, to air guitar is divine. And then it just bursts into this great opening sequence where you see them, you know, playing to Motorhead's Ace of Spades. And it's just awesome. It keeps that energy through the whole film, which I thought was great, especially for documentary, because normally documentary is very dry.
Actually, well, it depends. Depends
on what it's about and who it is.
Well, what's funny,
but I think
that's
the sign of a truly good documentary, is it really keeps you engaged.
Well, and this is actually a little bit of a detraction, but since, you know, this is the internet exclusive, we don't even worry about time as much. I'm going to go off on the side here about documentaries. Okay. Documentaries took a turn, and I attribute this to Michael Moore. Now, I think the guy's a douchebag, but he has made an indelible impact on documentaries where they're no longer just these boring History Channel type shows. They can be funny, they can be irreverent, they can be silly, and really Michael Moore pioneered that through the 90s, like starting in 89 with Roger and Me, and even he's kind of getting away from the more clever, funny stuff, and he's trying to be more serious now.
Right.
But like American Movie, did I completely pitch American Movie to you? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, you did, but I didn't.
Movie is one of the greatest films ever made, and it's done as a straightforward documentary, but it's these people going out in the middle of the country and just finding a topic or a person that is so compelling and so passionate about what they do that it becomes interesting, and it's silly and crazy, but that's what's so great about it. And like American Movie, which is one of my favorite documentaries ever made, it's this guy in like outside of Milwaukee who is trying to make movies, and the guy is a complete nutcase. I mean, he's a great guy with a lot of heart. But he's just like, he really, really has trouble focusing on things, but his passion is there. And there's some funny things that happen, but it's also heartbreaking. And you see him doing what he can to make his movies. And the guy's a real character, but it's so fascinating to watch. But it's not making fun of him. It's just, he does some things and you kind of go, well, that's kind of insane. But, you know, the guy's got a lot of heart, and that's what makes movies, documentaries, great nowadays.
Right. I agree. So, and Air Guitar Nation has every ounce of that.
Yes. And then going back to Alice Eve, if you search Alice Eve nude in Google, you really don't come up with much.
Oh, jeez. All right. That's all I have to say at all.
We're going to a break.
So we're going to leave you out with a little bit of rock music. And we're going to come back and we'll close the show and we'll talk to you about what we're going to do next week.
Yes. Or I'll go off on the side.
Kevin, are you going to say something?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Shut up. Be quiet.
But you said you wanted to come back from a break.
You were mean to me, and you didn't let me come back from any break until I make a point. You're like a wife.
Oh, jeez. Oh, crap, we're on. Anyways, welcome back to Fat
Guys. See, you did
movies.
It again. You didn't let me come back. There you go.
Well,
again.
You wasted all my time here.
You don't know what it's like to have a woman. I don't mean
that is not true.
That is not true.
There's physical proof somewhere in this world that I do know.
I think our mascot found it at some point.
Oh dear. anyways, that's our show. Really. You can find us. Where can you find us again?
We're not going to talk about anything else.
We don't have anything else to talk about.
Okay. Well, how find us? You want me to do this again?
Yeah. Let's see.
FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. Check us out on iTunes, on Dig.com, Podcast Alley. Are we on that?
Podcast Alley, if you search Fat Guys at the Movies, give us a vote. That'd be nice.
Email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Voicemail 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK for Star Trek fans.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, and make sure that you join us on our weekend show, which hits online on Fridays and hits the radio waves all throughout the weekend.
Neil, what are we going to be talking about this week?
We are going to be talking about Evan Almighty.
Okay, that's kind of
sad. I'm sending Kevin alone to 1408.
Did I tell you that? I found a book I have has the original story in, so...
Nice.
So I might actually sit down and read it.
We're going to have some unique insights.
Tonight.
And we're also going to obviously talk about A Mighty Heart with Angelina Jolie.
We won't talk at all about her stealing children
from Matthew. Will not in any way degrade her or make it about Brad Pitt or stealing African children. We're also going to talk, I'll talk a little bit about Broken English, a movie I saw, which is going to hit limited release, and, some other shenanigans. We'll have a top 10 list, I'm sure.
Yes.
And then...
We don't know whether it's going to be about Evan Almighty or 1408.
Yes, we have not yet decided, but we are rapidly approaching the big Transformers show, which if there's any time to subscribe to Fat Guys at the Movies, it is now, because in about two or three episodes, we're going to have the big Transformers show, and we've got awesome interviews coming up. We've got
that's
John
where
Voight.
Your DNA evidence is in your rolled up Transformer poster.
Yes, we've got Peter Cullen. We're gonna try to. We're right now selling our souls to Paramount to get some free stuff to give away. Nothing.
We'll
but
keep it, all the cool stuff.
Yes, it is going to be wall to wall Transformers. So that is also coming up, not on next week's show, but in a few weeks. So
is that it?
That's all we got. You got anything else you want to add there, Mr. Carr?
No. I still couldn't find any nude pictures of Alice Eve online.
Well, disappointing.
I'll have to give her a call, say, hey, let's do a special photo shoot.
Yes. But once again, happy Father's Day to Kevin and to all the fathers out there. Thank you for listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Ta-ta. Adios. Adios.